listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to Paddy Pigskin. I'm your host, Gary Somerville, in association with DraftKings. We are back in Boston, Massachusetts this week. We had a fantastic time down in Orlando, Florida at the 2018 Pro Bowl, but it's back to business and real football games this week. It is, of course, Super Bowl 52 week. So Jarrett is joining me this week. We're going to chat about just really the preview of the game. You've probably heard a shitload of it from some other shows and NFL Network and all that kind of stuff. So we'll keep it short and sweet. We'll talk about the game, maybe about half an hour or so. We'll also cover the Facebook Watch event that's been going on this week, and that is Tom versus Time. So the documentary into the behind the scenes and the life of Tom Brady. Very good. Suggest you watch it. We'll break down our opinions from the first four episodes. So that's on deck for episode 30 of Paddy Pigskin. Normally we do player dedication, but as it's Super Bowl week and it's episode 30, I'll actually recap Super Bowl 30 this week for the number 30. So it took place on January 28, 1996 in Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona. And it featured the AFC champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, going up against the NFC conference winners, the Dallas Cowboys, in front of 76,347 people. Cowboys were the favorites by 13.5 points, and it was the third Super Bowl meeting between the two. The first was in Super Bowl 10, and the second was in Super Bowl 13. There were a lot of future Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. For the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the owner, Troy Aikman, Larry Allen, Charles Haley, wide receiver Michael Irving, cornerback Deion Sanders, and running back Emmitt Smith. For the Steelers, the late Dan Rooney, Dermonte Dewson, I think is how you pronounce it, Kevin Green, and Rod Woodson. The cost of a 30-second Super Bowl commercial at that time was $1.08 million, and the halftime performance was from Diana Ross. So Dallas went out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter, and at halftime they were up 13-7. In the second half, running back Emmitt Smith put up two touchdowns on the ground, and the Cowboys D picked off Steelers QB Nate O'Donnell three times, who finished with a QB rating of 51.3. Eventually, the Cowboys ran away 27-17 winners to claim their third Super Bowl in 4 years. So episode 30, that was the recap of Super Bowl 30. And without further ado, let's crack on to this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. Four that want to own me, two that want to stone me once. She's a friend of mine. Take it easy. Take it easy. I had to have a little bit of the Eagles in there for you this week, given that your team is in the Super Bowl. So, Jer, welcome back on. How are the nerves?
They're good.
They're all right, yeah? You say that now.
It's Friday, you know, so we've got another good amount of time to go before kickoff.
If it's Friday, we've just had a bit of pizza. You're nice and relaxed here now. But, yeah, when Sunday afternoon rolls around, the turtle head might be popping out there as it gets closer to the game. So, We'll chat about, we were at the Pro Bowl last week, so we went down to Orlando, Florida. Good fun?
Yeah, it was. Saturday was good. Got in, got to see the NFC team warming up with the AFC team behind us. There were some things I didn't like. I thought, considering this was the second year, I thought they would have been way more prepared. Like, they had one Pro Bowl shop inside the whole event.
And people like us love merch.
It was like 45 minutes to an hour queuing time, and then when you get to the top, what you want could be gone. Like, there's nobody saying what's gone or what's still there.
At least you got a top for from a player that actually plays for your team. Well, they had no Landon Collins gear left. They had to get Drew Brees. So,
I wanted to get Fletcher Cox, but he was gone. He went quickly. But, you know, it was good. The game was the Pro Bowl game. You're not expecting much. The unfortunate thing was the weather. It was just too good. You want one thing from Orlando and it's sun and it was like torrential rain all day.
And the fact is, like, Camping World Stadium is so open because it's in Florida. They're not expecting downpours like that. And when it opens up, you're just at the mercy of the rain there and you get soaked. But it was good to see, like, players who would normally be rivals, like even divisional rivals mm-hmm. are kind of having the crack with each other. Yeah, and they're there with their family and their friends.
You know, they get it. It's an accolade to be there. They're getting paid to be there. All expenses are covered. You've seen Drew Brees brought us three sons with him, you know, for the week that we're there. They were ball boys. They got to see all the other players.
Mm.
They had a great time. And again, even when we were there, a lot of the events, like so they had the kick-tack-toe, you would run a route and the players throw in the virtual reality. There were a lot of flag teams there, so there was a lot of events there during the week for the kids.
Yeah.
What we've seen, like we went there on Saturday, they were on the field for maybe 25 minutes and then they started walking in, which is kind of like shit. Like it was I great seeing, was, it was seeing just them the walk do the trip. One drive yeah. and then they walk away. I wish we could have been there during the week when they're doing all their events, when it's a lot more fun.
Well, sadly, we have real jobs.
Actual
we
jobs.
Yeah, we actual and, jobs that we have to do Monday to Friday.
At the mercy of American holidays.
Yeah. Me, not so much. You, yeah, they're not as generous with the holidays. But, yeah, it was good fun. It's always been on my bucket list. My dad came over.
Nearly got shot. Yeah. Florida and all, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My dad nearly killed us both at the gun range, which was quite a unique experience. And we had Carl from NFL Talk with us. We did a mashup. So, yeah, it was good fun having a group of us going to the game. And like I said, if you're looking for an intense football game, don't bother going to the Pro Bowl because that's not what
there
it's about.
There was one or two hits there, though.
Which yeah, there was.
I was shocked to even see them. But again, it's more about you actually get to see a lot of the talent. You know, unfortunately, you didn't have any Patriots there, any Eagles players there. And then there were a number of players that just elected not to go to it. Mm. And so their backups were there. But you're still seeing great talent on the field. Oh,
unbelievable
you know?
Talent.
It probably would have been better if the torrential rain wasn't there because you've seen that a lot of the QBs underthrowing the balls or not coming out of their hand as clean as they wanted. But that's the unfortunate thing about it.
Yeah, we had fun. It was a nice weekend away.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move away from the Pro Bowl and we'll chat about Tom versus Time because it's been getting a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
Some for good and some for bad. So there's been four episodes out. The first one, episode one, the physical game. So that kind of shows him working out at home, which is it's actually crazy to think when I'm in work, Tom Brady is only like 10 minutes away from me at all times, which is a crazy, just weird sensation. The spidey senses are tingling. But so he's at home in Brookline. He's also at the TB12 Center. A lot of it shows Alex Guerrero kind of working on his body and making him more pliable. What do you think of the first episode? You only watched all of them today, really, didn't you?
Well, I seen the first one at the Pro Bowl. I watched it with Cahill.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
And then I seen the second, third, and fourth before I came over here. The first episode, yeah, I'm trying to remember what really happened in there.
Yeah, it was mainly...
It ended with him, didn't he, being really pissed off after the loss to the Chiefs. I remember him that much.
That's right.
He was driving home.
Yeah,
He was really pissed off, not wanting to talk at all.
Yeah. It shows him also taking out all his rings. Cause
yes, he did. He took out all his rings. Yes,
he's prepping. Yeah, shows him prepping for the ring ceremony and cracks open the safe and all the rings are there. And, and he takes out his suspension letter as well from the 2016 suspension. He whips it out and he has a little smile on his face. He kind of, that's a bit of motivation for him. But that was kind of the first glimpse we got into.
Yeah.
Normally you don't really see that type of stuff like in his home and
it's very personal.
Nice house.
Oh yeah, like it's a tasty little house he's got opposed to the shit apartment I'm living in.
We don't make millions of dollars like him.
No,
so
we don't.
And it shows him like we've heard so much about the whole pliability thing and you really see like what Guerrero does. He's like elongating the muscles and all that sort of stuff. So that's the first time I kind of saw video footage of him doing it. So like, it was interesting.
You have to have money to be able to do this sort of thing as well, you know. And again, he's an NFL quarterback, so he's obviously got the money and he's got the team could cover that if they needed for him. But for the normal person that wants to be an athlete to continue their career on just an average semi-pro level or just something keeps them, they don't have the ability to pay these guys the money to do this. But you've seen the preparation he's taken to play at the level he's playing at.
Yeah. And having a Brazilian supermodel wife keeps him young as well, I'd say.
That wouldn't age me at all.
No harm. I like the way they broke it up. Episode 2, the mental game. That shows him out in Cali. Because both him and Edelman are California kids. And you mentioned earlier on, he's with the QB coach Tom House, who was actually a former major league pitcher. And now he's just a QB coach.
Yeah, it was interesting
the
way he said he doesn't... When he's looking at him, he isn't seeing a person. He's just seeing a stick figure.
Crazy.
And the way it's just moving isn't the way he needs it to move at all.
Yeah. So I think he was trying to like rewire his nervous system to basically work out some of the kinks in his throwing technique and stuff. And at one point, he was showing he was trying to whip his hips forward when he was releasing the ball. And at one stage, he goes, I just had a mild orgasm there. I was like, fucking hell. Imagine the orgasms he's having with Giselle if that little throw of a pass gives him a mild one. I was like,
careful now. We don't want him fucking calling us out on a radio station here now, talking about Giselle.
Well, there's other people on other radio stations saying a lot worse. So
very true.
Yeah, just kind of focus on the cerebral aspects of his game. The first episode was the physical. This is kind of the mental, and shows him looking at all the footage.
Yeah, just
Monday,
stop,
Tuesday.
Stop, rewind.
Pretty much film.
6 a.m. he's up on game days and he's watching footage again. And how he was watching footage of not even the teams he was playing, you know? He's
crazy.
Just watching just different teams and different movements that they're doing. So
his football IQ must be just off the charts, I'd say.
Yeah, and again, he talks about it as well in that episode, if it is this episode, where he'll admit he's not the most athletic person at all.
Yeah.
But it's the other areas of his game that he's stronger than other people.
Absolutely, yeah. And I thought interesting, like not bragging because it was the Giants, but he looks at the old footage of the two Giants Super Bowls. And he's talking about the fear of failure. He's like, I don't want to experience that fear of that failure again. And
well, fuck him, he is going to experience it.
Obviously, I had to get me shots in, like, oh yeah, there we go, some footage of the Giants win. But it was that fear of failure that kind of gives him the will to win. He just doesn't want to experience that again. So it just goes to show you, he's won all these games. He's won all these rings and all. But it's the ones he hasn't won really haunt him. And he's like, fuck that, I don't want to be on the losing side again. So I thought that was a pretty interesting insight.
Yeah.
You just look at him as like, oh, he's this machine that wins games, but he dwells on the ones he lost more than anything, you know?
Yeah.
Episode 3 was this was kind of my favorite, the social game. So they're out in Montana. It was the Yellowstone Club, I believe it was called. Perfectly manicured pitch that the lads had marked out. It was basically.
So
like,
was this pre. When was
that?
This
was in the summer.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing pictures on Instagram and the lads were paintballing and they were going on ATVs and stuff like that.
So you have to remember, it's not just covering them from the start of the season. It's gone all the way back into good OTAs months, and everything. So it's trying to piece these things together of what time of the year it's taking place.
Yeah. I remember seeing those pictures.
I was a bit concerned, like, because you see them trailing ass down a mountain.
I saw it.
I was like, surely the Patriots don't want their
Robert Kraft,
the number one receivers, trailing down a mountain.
I'd love to see what the insurance policy is on those guys. Like, there must be some, if you get involved in like an extreme sport accident or something, there must be, I don't know, maybe there's a clause written into
their
contract.
What does it do? Like, do you get $1 million or $2 million? That's not putting a Tom Brady on the pitch, you know?
True, yeah. I thought it was good. The lads seemed to have good crack because Guerrero was there. They had Amendola there. They had Edelman there. And they were
some
just kind of...
Kevin Brady, which is Tom's friend.
Yeah, which was...
That was there. He was explaining to Edelman about the whole pliabilities and working all the kinks out. And Edelman was like, well, I need to lift. I gotta be strong.
I just need to lift shit, I thought there was a hilarious moment where the lads pulled out the ESPN, the body issue, where Julian Edelman was in the nip on it. And they had it like blown up into a big poster. And they were winding him up over that. And even when Edelman walks in on Brady, he's like getting the work done on his legs. So Guerrero's basically like right beside his balls, like rubbing his groin.
Proper going in there.
Edelman just walks in. He's like, sorry, guys, what did I walk in on here? So it just goes to show you, when they're away from the wife, girlfriend, kids and all, they're just normal lads staying in a cabin for the weekend, having the crack.
But you know, it's, you can tell how great he is because he's friends with these guys. And even though they were in this Yellowstone place and you've seen them do the paintball and the mountain biking, the ATVs up the mountain, they were still practicing and he was still tearing Edelman a new asshole because he ran the route a yard short because he had timed his throw to be perfect and it didn't hit on the money and he was calling Edelman out for being lazy. And then you had Edelman telling him to go fucking run. And he's like, that's not my fucking job. But you have to respect the guy because, like, as friends he is, he's fucking calling him out, like, saying, this is the way it fucking is.
Yeah.
You want to win, you're going to do it like this.
He went from friend modes to, like, business partner, like, at the click of a finger. It was
really
amazing.
I don't know if it was in that episode or it was the fourth episode. You're a Patriot now, and this is the way we do it, and you're going to go the Patriot sort of way, sort of thing that everybody hears about. And they just put the work in. They call each other out on their flaws. I think, I can't remember again if it was 2 or 3, that he's watching a bit of footage and he just sends a voice memo to McDaniels to say, hey, on this play against Cincinnati, Gronk went this way, but I think we could also bring him another way.
Yeah.
And as he's driving to the game, McDaniels sends him a voice memo back You know, it's just insane. Yeah.
He mentioned something about a ghost route, it was called. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Rover, I was like, geez, as well. What's a ghost route? It ended up, I think it was Amendola, because they were practicing it, and it was like a post corner post or something like that.
Yeah. And he says, look in, look out, look in and go. It was like,
so like, are you looking around for ghosts, or what's the story there?
Because it was in the clip where Brady was tearing Edelman a new arsehole for not running the routes. I got to fucking run and have three different routes in my head at the same time and then make a decision.
That's why a lot of receivers like
fail.
Yeah, big time receivers go there and they're like, they can't hack it, because a lot of those receivers have multiple options on the one play based on what covers they're seeing and what Brady's seeing as well. Episode 4, so the latest one we've seen, I think the finale now is out just before the Super Bowl, the emotional game. So this was an interesting one. This kind of has brought up one or two juicy points, which we'll get to in a minute. But it showed his work-family balance. So at the start, he's off in China with his oldest son.
Yeah.
And they're doing father-son stuff. Like, yeah, it involves walking along the Great Wall of China with 100 people around taking pictures, and they're tossing the ball to each other. And they go and do a bit of sumo wrestling, and, you know, just a nice bond between a father and son. So
he was over there for Under Armour.
I think it was Under
Armour. They brought
him
to the US because they brought Steph Curry over.
That's right.
Before or after him as well.
I know that. I think they go golfing every now and then. Steph Curry. And Jordan Spieth is like the other flagship athlete they have. Then I showed him in I thought that was a nice touch. I showed him in California with his parents, and you could see the parents are like so proud of the son. The dad is showing off
the confetti from Super Bowl 49 and
all those
stuff,
type of things. And like, his mom went through what is now like a public cancer battle, but all of a sudden Robert Kraft is FaceTiming her and they give her her own Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And all. I thought that was a nice touch. He's definitely close with his family. And then at the end, or in that episode, this issue seems to be like a lot of people are talking about it. So Brady's laying on his massage bed or whatever. Guerrero's working on him. They're talking about fantasy football.
So I don't think that was this episode. I think it was episode.
Was
two
episode
or three?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And it shows him. They're talking about fantasy football. He has Cam Newton as his quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, can I go off and play fantasy football?" And so Brady's
"This is Brady's second oldest child."
Is it?
I think it's the second oldest.
I don't know. I think he's 11 or something.
Okay, so yeah, he came in and you'd ask the dad, could he go on to fantasy football? And Tom was like, well, what do I get out of it?
Yeah. And then he goes and gives him like a little kiss or something on the cheek or whatever.
The face, and then
he's like, oh, is that all? And then he comes along and gives him a kiss on the lips. Now, to me, I didn't really see it. I was like, it's just a father and a son who love each other. Because in the episode with his mom, I think his mom
kissed her on the lips.
So it's just a family thing. That's just a sign of affection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of were like, you were on the other side. You were like, oh, it was a bit weird.
I don't know, because the kiss was in for like 4 seconds.
Did you time
on the
it?
Lips, you know?
Did you have the stopwatch out?
No, I didn't have the stopwatch out, but I had seen a headline about this or something during the week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't watched the episode. And then when I watched it, I was like, okay, the first was grand, whatever. It was just like on the cheek sort of thing. But when he called him back for a bigger one,
yeah,
and it was on the lips for like 3 to 4 seconds, I was like, okay, this is a bit odd here now, you know.
So it was a bit strange in your
very very strange. But again, they're obviously just a very close family.
Yeah.
And when you see like his dad hung him and his mother hugging him and kissing him on the lips as well, you can see he's brought this closeness into his own personal life as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose with the battle with his mother and everything, he says, you know, he's in his stage of life now where he wants to look after them because they looked after him for so long. So he's obviously, not, I'm a father, so I got to look after my kids and provide the best duty of care for them. So
yeah,
each to their own.
Yeah. Wasn't enough of Giselle in her underwear though.
Yeah,
there really wasn't.
Where was the like her waking up on game day morning out of bed sort of shot, you know?
Yeah, I was Jesus,
well,
where is
some
that?
Cameraman sitting at home happy.
Give the fans what they want, like, for fuck's sake.
Maybe episode 5.
Maybe, yeah. There might be the bonus episode or the outtakes or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, Tom versus Time, I found it quite interesting. So we'll see what the finale throws up at the end, episode 5. So we'll get to the game, Super Bowl 52. Eagles at the Pats this Sunday, US Bank Stadium, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 6:30 Eastern Time. For our friends across the pond back home, 11:30 Irish time. Pats 4.5-point favourites, over under 48.5. So I figured.
So it was 6 points at the beginning.
Yeah.
And apparently some guy in Vegas threw down a colossal bet on the Eagles.
And that single-handedly
started bringing it down to, it brought down to 5. And I'm guessing bets just since then have brought it down further to 4.5.
So we'll do a little to quote our friends from NFL Talk, a state your case. So you're an Eagles fan. Obviously, you're going to go with your Eagles. I have no real dog in the fight, but I just think that the Pats are going to win. So you tell me why you think the Eagles are going to win this football game.
Well,
and hoist the Vince Lombardi for the first time in their history. No pressure.
So I think it's going to come down to the battle in the trenches. And I think it comes down to, so I heard a stat before, I think the Eagles haven't lost a game where they've sacked the quarterback more times than their own quarterback has been sacked.
Okay.
So I just think.
So pressure is key.
Pressure is key. And what's the one thing people have said over the last 2 years on how to beat Brady is to get pressure on him, but get it coming right up his face where he has to move outside of the pocket instead of being able to move up. And I look at the Eagles D-line in comparison to the Patriots D-line. The Patriots aren't deep at D-line. And they're not big. They're not a big defensive line where the Eagles have the 6 to 7 guys that they're constantly rotating in. Linebacker core is a bit weak. Unfortunately, we're down to like our third string middle linebacker. I think Malcolm Jenkins, who came out of the Ohio State, also played corner. So
that's right.
And he's, I think he'll pick up Gronk. And the Patriots will look at it and they'll go pretty much, well, you're going to pick up Gronk. We're going to do the run game. But he's also strong in the run game, which a lot of safeties, when Gronk is on them, aren't very strong in that. So I think he'll look at it there. Offensive line, we're much better than them. We're faster, we're stronger than their offensive line. Our run game will be stronger than theirs. I think we have a better running back core than them, but they don't use their running backs in a traditional running back way. And if you go to receivers, I think Torrey Smith, I think we may take a shot or two deep down the field with him, be it early in the game, middle of the game, late of the game. Hopefully his hands are on point and he makes the catches these times. I just think Alshon Jeffrey, with the size of his hands, whatever's thrown to it, he will claw in. I think you've seen the difference just in Foles between the Falcons game and the Vikings game, but that week that was in between. And I think Doug Peterson's gone back to his 2013 season with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Looked at what he was doing well there and has taken some of that aspects and put it into our offensive category now as well.
Yeah.
So I just think it'll come down to that. And I think for the Eagles to win, they're going to need to have the ball longer, time of possession, but also do more with it.
Yeah.
And not leave. You're going to have to take control of the fourth quarter.
Do you think? Yeah, absolutely. Like we saw the Jacksonville game. Like,
you can't take your foot off the pedal. Yeah. You're going to have to do what you've done to the Vikings, where when you scored, you kept the foot down on the throat and eventually just crushed it. You cannot let up on the Patriots for once.
All they need is a sniff.
They need a sniff.
And they're in.
They're in. You just need to control the ball for the fourth quarter and just take over it and not let them near it. I think I heard, was it on NFL Network earlier, where they said when the Eagles were in week 4 out in LA against the Chargers, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Eagles had the ball. Phillip Rivers never got to touch the ball for the rest of the game.
Wow.
They just went on a drive. For 6 minutes, and their offensive
line ran the ball
boom,
a lot,
boom, boom, and just took Ingram and Bosa out of the game. And when you've got an O-line that can do that,
yeah,
that's where you're going
to
be.
And how many were voted to the Pro Bowl? Eagles, was it 3, was it? Lane Johnson, Lane Kelsey, Jones. Brandon.
Kelsey didn't get voted. No. He was like a second.
Is it Brandon, what's the guy's name?
Brandon no. Brooks.
Brandon Brooks.
Yeah, I think and there was Brooks, Johnson, one. Cox, and
Ertz. Wentz.
Wentz was there.
Yeah.
So we had a strong contingent there, you know. I think Kelsey should have went. I think it was between him and Unger were the two best centers this year. And I think Kelsey's kind of flying under the radar this year is underrated because he's had one or two not so great seasons there for a while. People thought he was done. But, you know, you could have put obviously more in there for me saying I think they deserve more. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, I really think the Pro Bowl, though, like the Steelers had like 9 players there.
Had a good chunk of players too. I think the Steelers had the
Steelers most. They had the most. Maybe definitely 9 players, 8 or 9
Jags
players.
Had a lot on defense.
Jags had 4 or 5 there. But again, this is the problem that you're leaving it to the fans to vote.
Yeah.
And again, no fault to Derek Carr. I don't think he should have been in the Pro Bowl. He wasn't in, but again, it's the fans that voted him in.
Yeah.
And you're going to get favourites.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think much of it, because like, when Cahill and I were making our Pro Bowl teams last week, like a lot of the picks, Matt, a lot of the time I'll look at the numbers. I'm like, here, this is a guy that deserves to be in based on like his production and stuff. A lot of it did match up. But then there's always one or two outliers like Derek Carr and stuff. You're like, why the fuck is he there? You know?
Yeah.
And that's just pure fan voting.
So you'll always there's have a lot those. Of those. I'm not saying Adam Thielen didn't deserve to be. He thoroughly deserved to be there. But it's like, Carr, great. You're a good quarterback. You were missing for most of the season, though.
Yeah, and didn't deserve to be there.
You're taking that spot away from someone else that deserves to be there.
True. Right, I'll state my case on the Patriots. There's going to be more people now saying I'm a Patriots fan, the fact that I'm like single-handedly defending them here in this debate. Well, here's... I told you before we came on, I had a crazy stat for you, right?
Here we go.
Here it is. Gary's crazy stat of the week. The Patriots haven't scored a single point in the first quarter in any of the 7 Super Bowls Brady has played in.
I think I heard that last year when they played the Falcons.
Unbelievable. Like a team of that caliber, like they just start slow in Super Bowls and they come back. But that's it's just crazy, like, that they've won 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
And like they haven't scored in the first like 15 minutes of football. It's crazy. Anyway, Gronk is back. I think you're instantly a better team when someone like Gronk is back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was going to be... whether he...
there was never an issue.
He was never going to not play. Yeah. Like, even if his brain is still a little bit all over the place, he was always going to play. Like, someone like Gronk, that's your pressure valve back again.
Yeah.
Like you said, if the pressure is coming, he knows if he has Gronk on like a little stick or so just something over the middle.
All you have to do here is what the Jags done to it before he was out of the game was... let Brady think it's the linebacker that's covering or a nickel cornerback. And then suddenly as he takes off and you look up, there's a safety standing in front of him as well. And you know, shit, he's not there. Now you have to alter. And he didn't have enough time to do it against the Jags because that D-line was just on top of him straight away.
You said you might see Jenkins line up on Gronk. Do you think Jenkins can hold his own against a guy like Gronk?
I mean, he is
one of those kind of mismatch-proof players, but you reckon he can shut him down or...
He'll be shut down.
He'll stem the production a little bit.
He'll stem it, I think. Problem is, if you go into zone with these guys, the Patriots, they'll eventually just get it and Brady will find them. You got to go man-to-man. Problem is, you're probably going to have to double-team Gronk just for the sheer size that he's got like 4 inches over everybody and about 50 pounds on any defensive player.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a complete mismatch.
He's ridiculous. He's got the speed. He shouldn't have the speed he has.
At
the size he is. So he's a complete mismatch. And again, you said you're instantly better with Gronk in on the field. If he leaves the field, they've got Grant switched to plan B then.
That's it. And I think...
it's insane.
The Patriots, like, they are so versatile in the type of players they have. Mm. Like... you look at their running backs, the scat backs they have. Like, Burkhead can actually go north to south. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't look at him and go, Jesus, he's a bruiser. But he can go north to south. Deion Lewis and James White would be the shiftier of the two.
Yeah.
So, and like, even in goal line situations, they can put in Mike Gillisley. Like, they do still have both, you know, kind of phases of the running game closed off there.
So, my head says the Patriots are going to win. But my heart says the Eagles are going to win. My prediction is the Eagles will win. Again, I can be quite superstitious at times, and then there's times I'm not superstitious. But if we look back to the last time the Eagles played each other, so no team has gone back-to-back in the Super Bowls winning since the Patriots done against the Eagles when they beat the Panthers before.
Yeah.
And here they are now with the chance to go back-to-back again. The Eagles had a 13-3 record that year. They got to the Super Bowl as well. And now the Patriots obviously were 14-2 that year, but the 13-3 this year. What were they? 7 points favorites back then. There were six points this time, you know. In and around there, you had the whole supposed illness with the Eagles players this week. You know, I don't know if it was media.
Fake news
going out there, but hopefully not. Apparently the report today is that they're fully fit. So hopefully
everybody is fully healthy. Yeah.
It's just one of these things where you're coming up against a team that are probably not going to have any nerves at all. Because this isn't their first rodeo.
No, most of them have been in the Super Bowl. The
only two players the Eagles are going to have is LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long. To say, this is what these guys are going to be doing.
Yep.
This is what you need to do. Just not care in the world. I'm a bit concerned that, you know, when Nick Foles hits the field, great quarterback and all that he is, like, when you take that first snap with that stadium roaring, and you realize, shit,
this is a Super Bowl.
This is a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But Brady's like, yeah, here we go.
Another one for him. Yeah. I think that's a very good point. Like, if it gets to that where it's like just a QB duel, like, shout, you know, like man to man, is it like, can Fowles just sack up and go toe to toe with Brady, or do you think the whole occasion might get to him? Because for Brady, it's like he's done these so many times, yeah. You know. It's a new ball game for Fowles.
And I can't even comment, can he do it or not? You know, because I've never seen him at this stage.
You don't know the psyche of the guy.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think he's got an experienced team around him. I'm concerned a bit about J.J. I think he could fumble the ball.
Yeah.
You've seen it against the Vikings.
They've had 3 fumbles so far in the postseason.
And it's like 2 were nearly off him, I'd say. But then I did laugh. So apparently tomorrow morning, they're having Brett Favre talk to them.
The Eagles are.
Doug Peterson is getting Brett Favre in to talk to them. And LeGarrette Blount was asked, what do you think of Brett Favre coming in to talk to you? You know, the reporter asked him, he goes, how many Super Bowls that guy won? And the reporter went, 1. He's like, okay, Grant, nothing then.
No chill.
No chill at all from Blount. But, you know, they seem to be having a good time. I've seen their social media posts. They're relaxed. And again, you don't see too many from the Patriots, but that's just the Patriots. That's just the way they are. You know, these guys... I honestly, it's one of these things. Like, if I was to go down, I was looking at it, Grant. Eagles receivers, I think they're better than the Patriots receivers. Eagles O-line, I think it's better than the Patriots O-line. Their running backs, is Brady better than Foles? Yes. Is Gronk better than Ertz? Different type of tight end. He's more of a threat than Ertz.
I would say, hand down, he's a better tight end.
But it's
so far.
But again,
Ertz is starting to heat up the last year.
Yeah,
or two.
He's had his injuries, unfortunately. Same as Gronk. But again, you look at the size. Gronk probably has 30 pounds on Ertz straight away. So he's stronger in the blocking game, and he's got the speed. Probably the same type of speed as Ertz, but yet is bigger than Ertz. His hands are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Gronk's. I don't know what it is, like. Belichick or the Patriots, they train these players not to make a football move. Because nobody knows what the definition of a football move is.
Yeah.
That they're not getting it. If they do get it, they don't try to scramble forward. It's just like, don't do it, because if you fumble it and we lose it, what the fuck?
And normally, if they do, they go low. Because you always see Edelman, like, dives, because he knows, like, his knee might be down and stuff like that. I just think, like, the Patriots are so good because they're so fucking multidimensional. Like, you take away, like, I'll just refer to my own team for one. You take away someone like Odell, instantly you've removed a whole dimension of football for that team. With the Pats, like, yes, and the Eagles' defense is phenomenal. If they take away one threat, someone else pops up. And it's like whack-a-mole. That's the way I describe...
Gronk single-handedly beat the Steelers that day in the fourth quarter.
That's the way I describe the Patriots' offense is whack-a-mole. You get rid of one, someone else jumps up and does the thing.
Yeah.
And, like, yes, our, like, talent-wise... The Eagles probably have a lot of players that are better talent-wise, but it's just the fact that these guys
will step up
and do their job.
Jags, man for man, 10 times better than the fucking Patriots. But
on
one key position...
On defense.
On offense as well.
Well, they had Leonard Fournette, who's
back. Yeah, but I'd take some of their receivers over the Patriots receivers. But you got to think.
I wouldn't.
You're saying that there.
What if
Tom Brady was the fucking Patriots of the Jags, and he's throwing to Allen Hurns and Mercedes Lewis... And all these guys, they're 10 times better the receiver then.
Yeah.
Because it's not Blake Bortles that's thrown to them.
Hypothetical. We'd have to see it in action for
it
to make
that decision.
I can
tell you it is. They're much better. But he can only throw 5-yard slants.
True. We'll look at some of the numbers. Total yards. Philly are second in the postseason. 790 yards. Mm-hmm. Not far behind are New England. They're third. Only 8 yards behind. 782. Passing New England are second. This is of all the postseason teams. Mm-hmm. 62 out of 92 passes for 635 yards. Now, this was an impressive stat. Philly are third, 78% completion.
Yeah.
Which is, we alluded to this in previous podcasts talking about Fowles. When shit is basic, he does it very well. It's when he has to kind of, when he's forced to do crazy stuff, that's when the accuracy goes a little bit. And you see, Peterson has been kind of keeping the playbook. He's not really forcing him to do, you know, extraordinary things. And that's why he has like 78% completion. Well, and they again, said, like, when Fowles struggles is when the play takes too long to develop. They say his passing accuracy is really good when it's like 1 or 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But when it takes, when things take too long to develop, that's when his kind of production falls off a little bit.
Yeah, so.
So again, I wonder, do the Pats not really bring too much heat and they kind of force him into this, oh shit, it's 3 or 4 seconds now.
Yeah.
What do we do?
It's, again, we look at those passing yards and to me they're flawed, you know, because there's 635 yards there. There was nearly 400 of that put up against the Titans alone. You know, that they just ran amok over the Titans. Foles lined up against the Falcons. He hadn't played. He played like, if even a couple of snaps against the Cowboys in the last game, and they had the 2 week break before.
Well, this is postseason only now.
Yeah, but that's what my point is. So he hadn't played since the last season game
for
the first few snaps, and then there was the 2 week break before the Falcons. So again, you could see that straight away that the guy sat here on your couch and I was cursing them. It was like they were so bad to begin with. And then last week, then they ran amok, you know. And again, there was some of the plays that he threw in there that he was in the pocket for 3 seconds. One to Torrey Smith on a flea flicker, and another one he sat in the pocket for like 3 or 4 seconds with Everson Griffin hanging off him, and then he pinged it down the middle to Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But again, what I think is going to happen here in this game is, one, I don't think the New England Patriots will have a slow offense, that they'll be running high tempo offense, and that way the Eagles won't be able to rotate their D-line and get lads in, which has been a key strength for them.
Yeah.
You've seen them do this to the Jaguars where they didn't give them the ability to bring in a Marcel Darius to give another guy a breather. And then at the same time, with that as well, I don't think Brady will hold the ball long because he doesn't want to Fletcher Cox or Jimmy coming at him.
Yeah.
And
just quick passes, just reload, again, go again.
This is where they're strong for. He loves little dump-offs. Give it to Amendola. And then, as I alluded to the running back comment earlier, they don't use them the normal way. They're just going to use swing routes and little bubble screens out. And
just to nullify the pass rush, yeah. So, yeah, it's an effective way of playing, all right.
And I heard something about the Patriots. Like, they're one of the top 5 worst defenses this year in the RPO game for yards allowed.
Mm.
So, again, I don't know. If you were to call it now, or both teams, who do you think is going to be the difference maker? Who's going to be that player for their team that's going to keep them in the game or win them the game?
For the Patriots? Patriots, just because he always comes up clutch in big games. Amendola.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amendola, he's going to work a lot over the middle. You said, like, the Eagles are down to the third string. Yeah. Like, that kind of... And one of the linebackers if it's not Jenkins, if Jenkins is not, one of the linebackers is going to be occupying Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of leaves Amendola. Like, he had a great game against the Jags. I just think he's filled the void of Edelman going down quite well.
Yeah.
I think Amendola, like, he scored touchdowns in the 2 Super Bowls he's been in previously. He just fucking shows up for the big games. I think Amendola has a good game again this week. That would be my like kind of difference. Obviously, Brady is going to make some sort of difference, but
if
you're the single out one guy, it'd be Amendola for me.
Yeah, I think maybe Ertz and people are going, oh, well, that's obvious because Ertz is amazing. He seems to be, for Wentz and for Foles, the safety blanket that they can trust him. But I wouldn't be shocked if Aguilar shows up big in this game because they're going to be focusing on Jeffrey, Smith, and Ertz.
I like him. I like Aguilar,
And he's had a fantastic year this year, you
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked there.
He's won me a few quid on more than one occasion in their DraftKings league. So I'm all about him. He's been quite good. I think he scored 1 or 2 against the Giants in that game, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah. That was bittersweet.
He hit one against the Cardinals, which was just a beauty.
We'll look at the defense real quick, defensive numbers. So in total defense, New England are 2nd in the postseason. 141 tackles, 11 sacks. How many of them were against, I think 8 of them or something, wasn't it?
8 against the Titans.
Against the Titans. 1 forced fumble. Then you got Philly, 103 sacks, 103 tackles rather. That would be quite a significant defensive line. 4 sacks, 2 wins with the touchdown and 1 forced fumble. So Patriots just seems to be that outlier game is against the Titans, really, when they kind of just mauled them. Yeah, because
then you're looking at 3-4, you know.
The sample size is quite small. You have a big game in the postseason, it blows up the numbers.
It does. And again, you look, 3 of those sacks came against the Jags where Bortles was holding on the ball way too long. Longer than any QB in the NFL should be copping shit. I've had the ball way too long on my hand and they've held it off. But, you know, 141 tackles. I'm not saying they're a bad defense. They're a good defense. it's going to be to see who shows up now in the big game. Like, these stats are great and all, but as Belichick's, and they're for losers, you know.
That's true.
It's
yeah.
The fucking ring, it's all and about, the Lombardi trophy he wants, and
it's all about the bling on the fingers at the end of the day.
You know, and again, we look at there 2 inches, one TD, like that T, the tackling from the Vikings was horrendous, and yeah, you know. So,
right, we'll go prediction time. So, I'll go first. I'm gonna say 27 for the New England Patriots and 20 for the Eagles, and oh, I'm wow. taking the under.
Taking this. The under. This is 48, is it?
48 and a half. So I'm taking the under and the Pats by 7.
Mm-hmm. Let me think now. I think it could be 24. No. That's
putting you on the spot here now.
Yeah. So 26. Yeah, no, I think they'll get more than that there. I think 28 for the Eagles. And I think 24 for the Patriots.
28-24. Where do you think the 28 points are coming? Ground game, passing game?
I'd say maybe two running touchdowns.
Two each.
And yeah, two passing. I think that's just the way it's going to be. But then you could throw 31 up there, you know, because you get a fucking boot of a kick, you know, down to a field goal.
Yeah.
It's just like, finding these predictions, like, it's ridiculous. The Patriots were favored by 7 the last time against the Eagles, and they won it by 3, you know. So you just don't know what's going on.
It
here.
Is. Like, it's
until
tough
last
one.
Year, when they beat the Falcons by 6, they'd never beaten a team by more than 4, you know, and that was just because it went to overtime and they got the TD from the big pass interference that brought them down. So you just don't know how it's going to go. Like, I think if the Eagles come out and they start the way the Falcons did last year, the only difference is I don't think the Eagles will tire or let their foot off the pedal, and they'll steamroll to a victory.
They won't. They won't blow a 25-point lead, and there won't be memes or flags up all
or
around Boston.
Diamonds and rings, you know. It's
okay. We'll leave it at that for our Super Bowl. Did I say 42 or 52? Super Bowl 52 preview. Don't know why I had 42 in my head. I think it's because it was Super Bowl 42 and the Giants won the first time against the Pats. So just have that ingrained in my brain. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. That's our predictions locked in. Good luck. You have a dog in the fight. I don't. So good luck. Enjoy the game. Hopefully you don't have heart failure at any stage and you're still alive on Monday morning.
I'm going to be fucking watching with Patriots fans. So I'm either going to have heart failure or a pain in the fucking head.
All right. We'll leave it at that for our Super Bowl preview. Before we go, don't forget to check out our fantastic partners, DraftKings, the leaders in daily fantasy sports. We have a showdown competition going on for the Super Bowl. So you pick 4 offensive players, 2 defensive players, $5 entry. I think we still have a couple of spots left. And when you sign up with our promo code, which is Paddy, PADDY, at DraftKings.com, you get a free $3 entry into a competition as well. So, yeah, you might as well sign up with the promo code Paddy, PADDY, and get that free entry. So join now, sign up, and play in our Super Bowl showdown competition for Super Bowl 52. That's with our sponsors, DraftKings, the leaders in daily fantasy sports. Don't forget to follow us on social media. So Paddy Pigskin is on Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, and the handle is at Paddy Pigskin. Check us out there. We have lots of fun shit that goes on all our social media pages and wherever you're listening to us. If you can rate and review us, that would be fantastic. Let us know what you think of the show. We're on iTunes podcast app. We are on Google Play Music. Where else are we? We're on TuneIn. We're on Overcast. We're on Stitcher Radio. Loads of different places. And thanks to everybody that's been listening so far. We really appreciate the support. Yeah, check us out. Let us know how we're doing. And that'll wrap it up for this week. Tune in next week, which will probably be our last show of the 2017 season. And as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care.